Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Boy, what to do, what to do. World is stupid. Lots of questionable stories to talk about. And we start off with monkeypox. And I don't know if some of the people have seen pictures of this. There's been all kinds of stuff out there of the ramifications of what it can cause, what it can do. There were initial reports talking about this was something you were going to see in the gay community quite a bit. And now you've heard stories of other people catching it. And Ed, you've seen some of the pictures of
horrific
monkeypox scars and the blisters they leave.
Yeah.
Well, here's a story. Gay porn star posts horrific pictures of month-long battle against monkeypox that saw huge blisters form around his mouth and could leave him scarred for life. Silver Steel of Houston, Texas, developed horrific blisters on his face after developing monkeypox and documented his month-long battle with the virus. He developed symptoms around July 11th when small pimple-like white spots started appearing around his mouth. Steele said he developed symptoms after attending a July 4th party and initially thought it was razor burn. After confirming it was monkeypox, he developed fever, chills, and night sweats and said he nearly passed out from the pain at times. So I wanted to bring this up just for a couple of things. And mainly the pictures of this gay porn star with his nipples pierced and, you know, flexing. But no, that was not it. The point is, with the visual stuff that's happening from this, do you think society, and it's weird now too because of where we're at and going through this pandemic that some people believed wasn't a pandemic, that was fake, that's this, that, right. It only affects these people, that, whatever. We saw a lot of people die, a lot of people get sick. Whether you think the numbers are accurate or not, we do know people died from COVID. I feel like something like this that would affect you and leave you scarred for the rest of your life scares people more than actual death does, you know, because especially not imminent death. What I'm talking about, people my age, looking at COVID as, look, it's not going to affect me. It's not going to kill me. I'm in decent health and, you know, I'm not older. I don't have any, you know, underlying conditions that could be affected by it. But when you see the images of this and what it makes you look like, I think that would cause people to give pause and be more concerned over something like this, because this is, it looks awful.
It does look awful. Well, they could be painful. Reading about the blisters that you get from it could be painful, itchy, all that stuff. You have other symptoms too. You know, muscle aches, exhaustion. A lot of them sound like COVID symptoms.
Respiratory chills, problems, sweats, fever.
Yeah, exhaustion, respiratory issues. So it's, you know, it sounds incredibly unpleasant.
Said he developed lesions on his gums, throat, legs, hands. Said it hurt most when he ate.
Well, the problem is, you know, again, with a lot of these things, it sounds like it's sexually transmitted. Because, you know, they're saying avoid close contact. And then it goes, say, including sex, you know, because a lot of things, if you look here, people with monkeypox get a rash, maybe located on or near the genitals. It just, you know.
Are you looking at pictures of genitals right now?
No.
I wouldn't put it past you.
It's just funny because they use the word butthole in here. Oh. And this is a medical site.
We are.
It's the CDC site.
We are children.
Yeah.
I don't
hear it described that way in medical terms, though.
I will be, I'll be on my deathbed, and if somebody farts in the room, I'm going to laugh. It's just, that's how my life is going to be lived. There's just no question. All right, let's get to these other two stories because I know we're We're running way behind today. Let's. This is one that I thought you would enjoy. Designer vagina.
Vagina!
Surgery doubles in 2022 thanks to tight leggings. Is this getting out of hand? It's called labiaplasty. The procedure shrinks the labia minora, otherwise known as... Jesus, I should have pre-read. Otherwise known as the flaps on the inside of the vagina, has a price tag of more than $4,000.
Yep.
Now, these curtains, citing pain and discomfort as the reason for the surgery, for a lot of people, explained how tight leggings and, very tight clothing can cause pain below the belt. And, of course, you know, there have been people that have pointed out all different types of things when women wear legging, whether it's the old... Can I use all these terms? I can't?
I don't know, man.
Like moose...
That one seems to it like more less innocuous than the...
A moose knuckle?
Yeah.
Okay. And you know any other ones? I don't want to be the only one that says it. I'm the only one calling the office.
I know a lot of them.
Yeah.
I know somebody actually looked into this.
Really?
Yes, she was going to get it. Very unhappy with the appearance of her hoo-ha. And talked to a plastic surgeon and all this stuff.
Yep.
You know.
Lots of surgeries on all in the old... How did the one chick from Saturday Night Live, Kate McKinnon, what she call it? The old coot coot and poop shoot? I think that's what she said. A lot of surgeries going on around that area nowadays. But they said it spiked in $4,000. Now, if you're having some discomfort, I get it. I don't know where to go from here. You know what? I feel like I'm gonna get myself in trouble going into this.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they got all these images. Why is Kim Kardashian in every picture in this story? Because God knows she's probably have every surgery known to man. Woman.
Sorry. Who the hell knows?
Last story here, and this is a serious one. We've all seen the chick from Total Recall that had the three boobs. Well, this is a woman that says she has a really rare medical condition, and she was only born with one boob. I have to ask this question. Is it weird that I want to see it?
No.
Okay. And the headline reads, she's making the breast of it.
Of course, that's the headline.
Thanks, New York Post.
I could have guessed that one.
Oh, my goodness. Rebecca Butcher, a woman who only grew one boob, is virally displaying her uneven endowment in a series of TikTok testimonials. By the way, I didn't use the other T word they were using here with TikTok testimonials.
I know.
I noticed that when I went through puberty that only one of my boobs was growing and the other one wasn't. This has to be, by the way, just an awful experience for a kid to go through.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I mean, So I went to my doctor and they said, you haven't finished going through puberty yet. It's fine. It's nothing. It'll grow. It's normal for women to have one boob bigger than the other. Come back if it hasn't changed in a few years. Hey, guess who's back? It hasn't changed in a few years. I still have one. There should be two. It's like the eyebrow scene in A League of Their Own. There's one. There should be two. However, after suffering through her teenage years with her right breast developing much faster and larger than the left side of her chest, Butcher feared that asymmetry was the cause or was caused by more than pubescent delay. And it turns out she has a very rare... Have you guys ever seen a crab that's like growing, like it has the one little claw and then the big claw?
Yes.
Here, Ed. And I know people want to see this picture. So.
Oh, wow. That's just, yeah.
At JeremyCon1057. Yeah. You can see the article. I retweeted it. Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. That is pretty crazy.
Still want to see it.
Who's she talking to on that phone, fake phone?
I don't know. Oh, and then my whole computer just messed up. All right. Well, that's your world of stupid. I'm sure we'll be talking about this later again. Hoo-ha. All right, so we got Jerry Bembry's going to join us. We'll talk about the latest with Kevin Durant and what's going on with the NBA. Also, up next, Ravens. Hundley's getting a lot of love from other fans. I got text yesterday when Brett Hundley was released. And people going, did they just release Hundley? Did it? No, it's not what you thought. But with that being said, a lot of people were looking at preseason play, what he did last year. Should the Ravens consider trading Huntley if they get the right phone call? We'll talk about it and take your calls at 410-583-1057.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Big Bad Morning Show. Jeremy Conrad Norris here with you. Rob Long is off today. Going to talk a little Ravens here. Tyler Huntley getting a lot of love from fans saying they wish, you know, from other teams saying they wish he was their quarterback. I get that, you know, because I think the guy's a serviceable player. I don't know what his value would be on the open trade market. I mean, we were hearing all kinds of crazy stuff last year before Denver made the acquisition of Russell Wilson. We had other players moving from place to place, but I think there are quite a few teams that Tyler Huntley could start for. What are your thoughts, Ed? Do you think the Ravens should consider trading him if they got fair value? And the other thing I would say about this, too, is, like, if Lamar goes down, like, it's a nice insurance policy. So I think you'd have to get overwhelmed with something to make the trade reasonable, like, right now. Like, if this were a couple of months ago where you had more options out there, okay, I'm listening to you. But what are your thoughts?
I don't know what you're going to get for a backup quarterback right now that you really need. What are you going to get? You're going to get a premier pass rusher? No. What are you going to get? So I don't know. And everyone needs a backup quarterback. You know, I'm not saying you're going to go to Super Bowl with him. But, you know, first we saw what happened. When Lamar went out last year, we had him. We didn't win anything. So you're not going to win with him. Mm-hmm. Granted, he had no supporting cast, like, but neither did Lamar. However, you know, if your quarterback goes down for two games or something, you know, he's got some kind of minor injury that has to be rested. Then you need somebody. So I'd like to keep him because I think he's better than average as far as backup. So yeah, I'd rather keep him.
Yeah, and that's where I'm at with it too. Like if somebody, but here's the thing: is like with the unknown that you have is what his value is to another team, right? Because there are talks out there if Deshaun Watson's suspension is extended, that the Browns will look at making a trade for Jimmy Garoppolo, which means they would be paying Garoppolo, unless the 49ers picked up the contract, Garoppolo, Watson, and Baker Mayfield. And they have the cap room to do it, but it is kind of weird. But when you look at a team like Seattle, what's Seattle interested in?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Carolina loves collecting quarterbacks. They got almost all the quarterbacks from that draft class, right?
Yeah, that's for true.
You know, if there's another team that deems, hey, we have a shot here. But again, I go back to what you said. Like, he played fine. He had his moments where he looked really good, and other times you're going, what are you doing? Because the two games that they had a you know, they were in early on, and his first two starts, everybody was talking about him. Like, man, this kid looks really good. And then there was the last two where everybody's going, I have no idea what he sees. But there is a progression for him. He's got to get, you know, he's got to get reps to get better, and that was his first, you know, real action. So if a team is interested in him, yeah, I'd be willing to move him if you got the right value for it. Again, that it's supply and demand. What do you offer me for him? Because there were rumors last year. I had a buddy in Denver who works, he does radio out there, and he was saying, hey, if the Broncos offered a one, would the Ravens trade Huntley? And I was like, yeah, in a heartbeat. Like that just seemed like
you're not getting a one for him.
No, not at all. But again, yeah. It's all about demand and who needs a quarterback.
Right. Yes. But honestly, there's quarterbacks out there that are more proven who are backups right now, and there's plenty of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you know he'd be that attractive a mark for people. And I like him. Don't mistake the fact that I don't like Huntley. I do like Huntley, but I mean you're talking about Flacco's got a job, but I think Flacco's better. Andy Dalton's better.
Sam Darnold. Would you rather have him?
No, I'm not a Darnold fan.
Okay,
I wasn't happy when the Jets picked him up. Chad Henne, I think, is better. So there's some guys that have proven themselves, you know, or at least look better to me on the field.
It's tough because some of the guys you listed, I think we've seen their ceiling and what they can be later in their career. And it may be better than Huntley. You just don't know until he gets out there. I just think he's okay. So do I. Yeah. I think he's a great backup to have. If you need him for a game or two, you feel comfortable with him. He knows your system. There's a lot of similarities to the style of play of Lamar, so you don't have to change up the offense totally. But other than that, you know, I don't know what you get for him on the open market if somebody's willing to trade for him. I think that's a tough ask. It's a big ask.
Yeah.
And again, maybe it's not picks. Maybe it's a swap for players. Like if somebody has a pass rusher you're interested in and they feel like they have enough and they're looking for a quarterback, maybe there's some talk there. But we'll also have to see what type of injuries happen over the next 2 weeks because there's going to be a handful of them who gets affected the most by it before the regular season starts. Can you believe, like, what is today? Today is August 17th.
Yes.
And what are we, 3 weeks away from the NFL, like, officially starting, roughly?
Yeah. Yep.
That's incredible, man. Like, this is, time flies.
For us, it starts the 11th.
Yeah.
For the league, I think it starts tomorrow.
Well, I'm talking about the first actual game with Thursday, right?
Yeah.
So it'll be 3 weeks from tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. And that's what, the Bills will be, is it the Bills in action? Well, no, that opening night? What's that Thursday night? That's the Bills-Rams. Thank you. Did you yell that in my ear or on the air? In my ear. Yell that on the air. Just chime in, Joe. Come on, man. I don't want to hear what your problems are. Just do it.
I have to keep taking out of program one when you can't hear me, so I have to reach over, try to get it, and then it sounds awkward. Like,
Joe, I'll write it. We'll do it live.
To play us out. What does that even mean?
To play us out. Sting? Sorry. We just got off of
it. Wow. Ring.
Anyway. All right, so...
CBS, I am. CBS Sports, they have the best backups this year, 2022, ranking them. Mm-hmm. The youngsters, number one, Tyler Huntley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, look, when you need a quarterback, you will look at everything and convince yourself you need that guy. But then that's why I always have problems with drafting quarterbacks in round one if they didn't blow you away. Like, if you didn't say, this is our guy, we got to get him. I feel like teams sit there and watch video, and try to convince themselves that, hey, we got the right guy, and this is what we need.
And they went through the veterans, though. They put a longer list. Tyrod Taylor, Andy Dalton, Jacoby Brissett, Case Keenum, Heineke, Minshew, Foles, Bridgewater, Mayfield, and number one, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, let's grab this real quick. Rashawn's in Baltimore. Rashawn, we got to be quick, man, but you want to talk about trading Huntley?
Yeah, man. I mean, I trade him. I mean, only if it's like a third-round pick or something like that. But other than that, I keep him, man. Even though I was disappointed in him last year, you know, I thought he was like Lamar 2.0, but he let me down in a couple games. But, I mean, I guess he's useful. Like, you need a backup for like two games, but not for like six or five like we had him last year, you know.
Yeah, it's like, appreciate the phone call. It's kind of like what I talk about with young batters. Like, we were talking about McKenna the other day. And I said, if you got to see him out there on an everyday basis against right-handed pitching, I think he would scuffle a little bit more. You bring him along slowly, and he got a chance last night to face a right-hander. But again, if you looked at his bat and Brett Phillips' bat, I don't think you're going to question which one you'd rather see play. Yeah, no. All right, we're going to talk to Jerry Bembry up next. Kevin Durant, is he going to retire? He had a tweet that came out. We'll talk to Bembry about that and get his take on what's going on with the NBA right here on 105.7 The Fan. Welcome back, Big Bad Morning Show. Rob Long is off today. Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris here with you. We welcome in Jerry Bembry, of course, with senior writer for the ESPN, Undefeated. Jerry, I guess the big thing that everybody wanted to talk about initially was Kevin Durant and the report that came out that said he might be retiring. He has since tweeted that out. I thought it was kind of nonsensical, but I guess nothing would surprise me at this point.
Yeah, nothing's a surprise, but that was nonsense from the jump. I mean, come on, it's too much money on the table for a guy to just walk away, you know, at the peak of his career. But still, it's a crazy situation. I mean, he's coming in with a power play. You know, I want to be traded. I want the coach fired. I want the GM fired. And it's just, to me, ridiculous because that team has accomplished absolutely nothing since he's been there. Not entirely his fault. You look at what the James Harden situation, they bring in Ben Simmons, and he's not even on a court with Brooklyn and Kyrie Irving missing games. So it's not his entire fault, but, you know, you asked for this coach to be in place. And, you know, you under the guise of, okay, I'm going to be on the floor coach. Me and Kyrie are going to kind of run this team. And it just didn't work. So, I mean, just play. Just play ball. I'm sick of this whole Kevin Durant drama right now.
Yes, we are. I really am. Like, just, God, I wish he'd just go away. Anyway, somebody who's not dramatic. What about the retiring of Bill Russell's number throughout the NBA? What do you think of this?
I think it's great. I mean, this is a guy who won 11 rings, iconic figure in the sport, the greatest champion in NBA history, and he should be honored in that way. He's a true legend, and I think it was a great move by the NBA to retire his jersey. Now, obviously, guys who are wearing the jersey now, it'll be grandfathered in, so LeBron James won't have to change his number, right. But in the future, you know, players won't be allowed to wear it, and you look in the Raptors and see that image. It's almost like, you know, Jackie Robinson, his number 42 in professional baseball, so Major League Baseball. So I think it's a great honor. I think it's truly deserved. I'm glad the NBA made that move.
Talking to Jerry Bembry here on the Big Bad Morning Show. And Jerry, as you start looking at this offseason and how things have gone, any big shocks to you on what happened? I mean, is it the fact that nothing's happened with the Nets per se? The Lakers still being intact the way that they are? I mean, do you think there are more moves coming here in the near future?
Yeah, I think the big move is going to be Donovan Mitchell. I know the Knicks are having conversations with Utah about acquiring him. Whether that happens, I don't know. I think the Knicks have to make another move to be better. Jalen Brunson is a good addition, but he's not enough for that team to be a winning team. And, you know, I think things will shake out as we get closer to the regular season. I'm sure the Lakers want to make more moves. The Russell Westbrook addition a year ago didn't really work. And they've got to make some other maneuvers to get to that championship level. And even whatever maneuvers they make, I still don't think they're a championship team. I think LeBron is too old and Anthony Davis is too injury prone. But you expect things to heat up right before the regular season as we get closer to the start of the season.
Speaking of the Knicks, because I get to talk Knicks because you're on the show. I don't think we get to do this. What do you think about what they did in the draft?
You know, everything is drafting for its potential, Ed. And we all know that. We don't know who's going to pan out. And so it's a wait and be seen situation. So, you know, we'll see how it all plays out. But I think the Knicks have, I mean, there's, you know, Obi Toppin showed signs of being a better player last year. He had young guys, who showed signs of being good players. And Jalen Brunson will make them a better team this year, but he's not a game changer. And I think that, you know, I think the Knicks have a ways to go to be a better team. So, you know, we'll see. You know, Knicks are going to get a lot of future draft picks based on what they did during the NBA draft. So we'll see. It remains to be seen.
Getting old. I need them to speed it up a bit here.
Yeah. I mean, we all got teased 2 years ago with the Knicks, made the playoffs, and, you know, we all thought that they had turned a corner and then did nothing last year. So we'll see. But I guess the Knicks, they're just building for the future, future draft picks, and, you know, see who's available then. But anytime you draft a guy today, you know, you can go back 10 years in the draft and say, well, this guy is a surefire number one. And then it's the number eight guy that's the surefire number one when you redo the draft. So you never know. You never, unless it's a LeBron James type of guy, yeah. You never really know.
Hey, Jerry, I know you don't want to talk about Kevin Durant, but I want to take it back to it for 1 second. And two things. Do you think he ultimately gets moved, stays with the Nets? And also, like, I know this has been brought up a ton, but, and it's always been asked, does it hurt his legacy to join Golden State? Does it hurt his legacy to go to the Nets and have it blow up in his face? But do you think players look at him differently now than they did in the past?
I think they do. He had to go to Golden State to win those rings. And I mean, he was a great addition to that team and put them over the top, but you know, that's a move he made to get the rings. I don't think he has any leverage right now. I mean, and if you're the Nets, you hold out for all you can get for one of the premier players in the league. So you're not just going to give this guy away. And, you know, I applaud the owner for the Nets saying, hey, we're not going to get rid of the coach and the GM. We're not going to do that just because you said so. You know, we gutted a decent team to get you and Kyrie, and the results have been zero since you've been here. Not necessarily your fault, but we haven't gotten the real results because we expected to compete for a championship. You haven't even made the NBA Finals. You haven't made the Eastern Conference Finals. So, no, he has no leverage right now, and he's going to have to play. I expect him to be in Brooklyn. I expect that Kyrie to be in Brooklyn this year, and they're just going to have to play. You know, prove yourself on the court. Prove yourself on the court and win a championship or make this team at least a contender because that's what they hired you to do a couple of years ago, and you haven't done it yet.
Who'd have thought Ben Simmons would be the least of their problems? Jesus. Jesus. I mean, this is insane. Jerry, appreciate your time as always, man. Have a great week, and we'll be chatting with you down the line.
Jeremy and Ed, you guys take care.
See you, man.
Jerry Bembry. All right, we are going to switch gears right now, talk some Orioles and Jays. Last night, if you missed it, 4-2, Orioles win. They're 170 underdogs today, which I'll talk about a little bit later, but have a chance to get the sweep against Ross Stripling. You have to like their chances today to pull this off, but want to talk about what's going on in the series. We talked a little bit about rivals. If you want to call in, 410-583-1057. Welcome back. Big Bad Morning Show. Jeremy Conn, Ed Norris here with you. Rob Long is on vacation. Now, the Orioles, we talked about who is their rival in the American League East. We also talked about last night, and could you be creating one with the Jays? They've now beat the Jays, what is this, 5 games in a row? And you look at it as well, or is it 5 out of the last 6? It is funny to me that they, last night when the game started, you get a single from Springer, and then just an absolute missile from Vlad Guerrero Jr., and that may have been Dean Kramer's best start.
I think
that's how the game started off, and that could have been his best start ever. So what you saw from him, the thing I like most is that he settled down after that, just really settled into it, and coupled like the one time striking out the side in the heart of the lineup. He looked like he had guys. Like there was the one play where he struck out Vlad Guerrero Jr. on back-to-back changeups. Like it's something that he wasn't even throwing his changeup that often. So I liked the pitch mix last night. I don't know if that has more to do with Rutschman, if that has more to do with Kramer, a combination of the both, but getting down 2-0, and it seemed like he got a big lift once Cedric hit the bomb, followed up by Rutschman's bomb, and the rest is history. They scratch out 2 more runs late, and they hold on to win another game. And as somebody said, it's kind of weird. Like it's almost like Muhammad Ali in boxing, where you're rope-a-doping right. Until you get to the bullpen, and it's like, all right, now see what you can do against these guys because the bullpen's been dominant.
Yeah. I just think, you know, for all the a couple of things that you mentioned I think were important. The fact that he settled down after giving up the 2 runs in the first inning, it was really important to me because I don't know about you, but until very recently, if they were down 2 runs in the first inning, I assumed it was going to be they're well on their way to a 10-1 shellacking because it's just the way it was.
I thought that was going to happen last night.
Did
honestly.
You? Yeah. Yeah, and I honestly did not, and it's not hindsight. I really just didn't. I was like, oh, okay, 2 runs. We can make that up easily. And they did. You know, they absolutely did. So I felt good about that. I thought he had a great outing. He gave the bullpen a break, went deep into the game, pitched really well. I just think they're really just playing good baseball. I just wish the Yankees were – it's odd now. I wish the Yankees were playing better baseball because they're losing the teams in the division.
Yeah, and it's hurting the Orioles.
It's hurting the Orioles.
And they went out and lost to Seattle. Another team.
They lost to the Rays last night, didn't they?
Yeah, lost to the Rays. They gave up 3 in the first inning. So I don't know if some of the shine's off Nelson or Nestor Cortez and how he's been pitching. I still think he's very good. But oddly enough, you know, I talk about using these algorithms. Nestor Cortez graded out as number 1 or number 2 yesterday in starting pitchers. And it's according to their price on DraftKings and FanDuel, stuff like that. But yeah. But it's still the algorithm will show you what's expected of them on average, what their output should be. And Dean Kramer graded out as one of the worst. It's just baseball's a funny sport, man. And seeing what's happened with the Orioles, this should never happen. A team with the lowest payroll, like it's like finding a needle in a haystack almost to do this over. And we haven't got to 162 games yet, but I don't see any reason that they're going to fall off. And I think the schedule gets a little easier in September. I'm not telling you, like, you're going to face some divisional teams, so you know they're good teams. But but even now, the Yankees aren't scared. They lost 10 of 12.
No.
They can't score runs.
Not at all. No, really. They're really, like, they look like they're falling apart somehow.
Well, did you see the Yankees lineup last night? Let me give this to you real quick. And not to just get totally off topic here, but I will. because I think it's interesting when you talk about the bottom of their lineup. Now, the Yankees last night, Jose Trevino, their catcher, batted fifth. Benintendi, sixth. Miguel Andujar, who's hitting 239. Then Isaiah Kiner-Falefa at short, hitting 269. And Marwin Gonzalez, who's hitting 210. That's the bottom of their lineup last night. They actually batted Torres leadoff. Is LeMahieu got the night off. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's hurt or not. Did he get hurt? LeMahieu got the night off. Rizzo was one of the only lefties, well, Rizzo and Benintendi, that they had in the lineup going up against, you know, the Rays and Jeffrey Springs, who's a left-hander as well. But I just, you look at this division and how daunting it was in the beginning of the year, and we kept saying, is this the best division in baseball? And it still very well could be. But the Red Sox stink. The Orioles are playing well. The Rays are hit or miss. Wouldn't be shocked to see them go. Like, the Rays are a team, you would not be shocked to see them win 7 of 8 or lose 7 of 8.
Yeah.
You know, because their hitting leaves a lot to be desired. And if they lose 7 of 8, they're probably losing games 4-3, 4-2, 2-1. Like, it's just, they have these low-scoring games, and that's just how the games have been. Even last night. I mean, they start off with 3 runs in the first inning. The final score was 3-1. They didn't score the rest of the game. So, yeah, I mean, this division, division's not ripe for the taking, but getting into the playoffs is. And when you watch the Orioles and the way that they played against the Blue Jays, maybe they are slowly becoming a rival to you, but you have to like what you see. And I said it earlier, when you have this type of success early on, now you're developing expectations from your fans. People want to see you get into the postseason. I mean, they always want to see it happen, but now I think it's a realistic chance that they get in there. And those games that we have circled, when you start playing the other teams, the Rays, the Blue Jays, I don't think you worry about the Central as much, but out West, Seattle, those are the teams that you're rooting against now. And Seattle, they get the Angels, who just look dreadful, and they look like they don't want to win. The past 2 nights, they've given it up late in the ninth inning. Last night, another 4 runs in the ninth. The night before, another 4 runs in the ninth. It just, pick a way to lose, and they'll find it, and they get to play them quite a bit. So you have to be on top of your game. I don't know if do you think ultimately, Ed, like right here today, as we do, you think the Orioles make the playoffs?
Yes,
I do too.
Yeah.
What about you, Joe? You think the Orioles make the playoffs? The more and more I talk to it, people are excited. People are asking questions. Like, I know I have friends that haven't watched all season, and they're watching now. Well, why is this guy pick? What's this guy doing? Yeah. Well, if you haven't watched all season, you got to understand what some of these guys have been doing. What about you?
I don't think that they will.
Jeez.
I went back and looked at 2013, and at this point in 2013, they were 67-55, and then they faded down the stretch and didn't make it. And I think that's what's going to happen.
I remember that. It was a bad September.
They ended up, I think they lost. They ended up winning 4 of their last 5, but had a 6-game losing streak before that. And it all kind of just, I just don't think that this team right here has the right thing to get you over the hump. But again, they probably would have made it in 2013 if they had an extra wild card team.
Joe, if somebody in your family or one of your friends hasn't nicknamed you Sunshine yet, I mean, they have really done you a disservice, my friend.
I mean, I hope I'm wrong. It's not like I didn't put money on this.
How much do you think he's, I hope I'm wrong. No, it's okay. Look. You call it like you see it. It's very fair.
It's a question. It's an opinion question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sunshine. Anyways.
Sunshine.
Yeah, I do too, Ed. I think they make the postseason. And I think it has more to do with how they've been playing than actually who they play. Because I don't think this team gives a... If you told them they had to play the Yankees the rest of the year, the Astros, I don't think they give a rat's ass. They just show up and play ball.
Yeah. I don't either. That's why I think they are. I just like the way they play. And just the whole... I don't know. The whole feel of the team seems very different than it has in the last couple of seasons. It just does. And I'm sure it's because they're playing well, but they seem to really like each other. The home run chain thing has really caught on. And it's actually fun when you have nights like last night. We hit Mullins, and then, you got to give it up now. Because Mountcastle just, you know.
I love when that happens.
I mean, Rutschman hit one right after. Yeah not Mountcastle, Rutschman. And so it's like, I just think it's great the way they're playing baseball. They look like they're having a blast. And that's why, and I think they're loose because they say the expectations were so low. They may be there now, but they weren't at the beginning of the season. I think, you know, like I said, I really feel like they're playing with house money here.
Well, coming up next hour, we got the Daily Line. We're going to talk a little bit about what the Braves have been doing as well in the 9 o'clock hour. But up next, it's Ben McDonald. And who doesn't like talking to Ben, especially talking baseball? Yeah. Had some great observations about Dean Kramer, which I really want to get into with him, just about his makeup and what he's been doing. Because at some point, I think you have to start tipping your cap and saying, maybe Dean Kramer is a lot better than everybody thought he was after watching him over the past two seasons. Because I know when he initially came up, people were like, oh, I like this guy. He gets a lot of strikeouts. He's not overpowering, but for some reason he gets a ton of swings and misses. And then after that, he started getting batted around. What has he changed? What's different? Is it the cutter? Is it just, experience? But sometimes it just starts to click for a guy, and he's definitely one of the ones in the rotation that I think you could look at that I'm kind of hoping he's in there next year. I want to see more from him. I want to keep seeing more of Dean Kramer. Maybe it's just me, but we'll get Ben McDonald's thoughts on that. That's coming up next right here on the Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.